It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. The partner conference is coming up, Inspire, but the partners are outraged. We'll have the details about that kerfuffle. Also, Windows 10 as the insider builds turn, and a whole segment of non-Windows Microsoft news. Yes, Windows Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 629, recorded Wednesday, July 10th, 2019. If I still had my wigs and costumes. Windows Weekly is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy with one click. It's that easy. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/windows. And by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage. Thinking about moving your data storage to the cloud? Wasabi is enterprise-grade cloud storage at 1/5 the price of Amazon S3 and up to 6 times faster with no hidden fees for egress or API requests. Calculate your savings and try Wasabi with free unlimited storage for a month at wasabi.com. Use the offer code Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly. Oh, I should just look at the lower third. It says that on the screen there.
It's time for episode 620. Wait, what?
Episode Wednesday. Hello, Paul Thurrott, Thurrott.com, leanpub.com, creator of the fabulous field guide to Windows 10. Hello.
Hello, Leo.
Are you elsewhere or have you replaced the bricks with a curtain? This is my question.
We're going on our home swap next week, so I have removed the bricks so that people won't make fun of my house.
Are you going to bring them to where are you going to go?
No, I'm not going to bring them.
You should bring your bricks. No,
yeah, no, they, no, please don't give anyone any ideas. we're going to Amsterdam.
Oh, I'm so jealous. And so is Mary Jo, because she knows that's the land of fine beer. Mary Jo Foley, all about Microsoft.com and our beer meister. Today,
I'm going to be texting Mary Jo pictures of beer that I do not drink.
Exactly. Isn't he this, does that.
It's so sad. Because he's going to the land of beer, and he doesn't use carbs,
right?
Well, I have some carbs, but I don't have beer carbs.
Oh, you do have some carbs in your life.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. I can't really. You know, I'm not running for Jesus, Leo.
I get the only carbs I get are for things like cabbage, and believe me, cabbage is not known for its carbohydrates.
No. I think you expel more energy eating a piece of cabbage than you do ingesting it.
That's my plan. You will love the salad I have brought today. It's a kale Caesar.
Oh, nice.
Kale Caesar! Anyway, we're not here to talk about it. I'm glowing because I got my lab results back and they're so good.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a new man. It's just like, it's so exciting. I have to get down. We're going on a trip to Israel in the fall, and we've booked a helicopter ride. This probably is a bad idea. Mm-hmm. A helicopter ride over Jerusalem. What could possibly go wrong?
Sure.
But you have to weigh. I have to lose to get on that helicopter another 13 or 14 pounds. So
really?
Yeah, you have to weigh 198 for some reason.
Really?
Wow. So I would never be able to get on that helicopter.
It's a string powered helicopter, I guess. I don't know. So
yeah, do they flick it into the sky with a giant elastic band or what?
Good luck. yeah, I know. I thought that was low because we did helicopters. We've done many helicopters in Hawaii and other places, but no.
It seems very low.
Yeah, it's hot. That's a tough one. And of course, Lisa said, "Why don't we just use our combined weights?"
Right,
and that'd be fine, but the helicopter would be flying sideways. So I'm gonna get down there, or I'm going to lose my deposit, and that's good. Wow. That's good incentive, right?
Have you been to Israel?
No, I'm very excited.
Yeah, I've been once, but it was forever ago. Actually, it was almost 20 years ago.
My Pilates teacher, who's Israeli, which by the way is the best kind of Pilates teacher. She served in the Israeli army. Okay, just to give you an idea.
Well, if you're from Israel, you served in the Israeli.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You know.
Yeah, it's a compulsory service, which I think is cool. Yeah. Anyway, she's been teaching me bad words in Hebrew, so I'm ready. I'm ready for the trip. I may get shot before I get home. Anyway,
we're
not
the. I enjoyed the merchandise there. There was a shirt that said "Just Jew It" with the Nike logo, which I thought was pretty cool.
I am so excited. We're going to all the famous places.
Wow, yeah, that's gonna be nice. Great,
including the Fort Masada out of town. We're gonna spend the night in Jerusalem, but then we're gonna go to Masada. So, it's gonna be really interesting. Anyway,
I liked it there. The food was nice.
Yeah, I can't wait. That, by the way, I will be eating hummus. Mm-hmm.
Where are you staying?
Yeah. On a boat. It's a cruise.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's cool.
But what we're doing, which is kind of weird, we're getting off the boat in Haifa, and we're going to drive to Jerusalem and spend the night in Jerusalem at a hotel. I don't know which hotel. Mm. And then
get a little manger picked out.
We're going to visit. Now, I have to think this is like legend. I mean, I don't know historically where the manger was. We are going to Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. And apparently, the folkloric mangers, you know, where Jesus was born, is a pit, is a hole in the ground.
Okay, yeah, right. Because it would have actually. So, by the way, a lot of historic Jerusalem is 20, 30, 40 feet underground.
Right,
that's the deal. I mean, it's like Rome. It's all been built on top of itself.
Yeah,
there's amazing excavations there of the old Jerusalem.
I can't wait. I am.
Yeah, it's really neat.
So excited. I mean, Amsterdam's great.
20 years later.
Yeah. Well, this is the fun thing about travel. You know, go somewhere. Yeah. There's plenty of places to go. You don't need to repeat. Anyway, where are you going for the summer, Mary Jo? Anywhere fun?
No, I don't usually go anywhere in the summer because it's kind of our busy season, which is weird.
Really? Microsoft, like, gets going on in the...
Yeah. Like, next week's the big partner show, and it just feels like, yeah, summer's big. So... Plus, I'd rather go in the fall or the winter somewhere.
Partners are pissed, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's kind of the headline.
To put it mildly.
The headline today.
Just go right to it.
Let's get right into it. Why are they upset?
July 1, start of Microsoft's new fiscal year. There's always a lot of changes, reorgs, different new programs being instituted. There just happened to be a listing on the Microsoft partner site. It was like I don't even know what you would call it, like a static page that said over the weekend, by the way, partners, we're taking away your internal usage rights for our products. So if you've been a Microsoft partner, and I know a lot of our listeners are partners, partners are like the way Microsoft sells their products. It's like 90% of their sales or something crazy comes through partners, maybe more. They've been able for decades, I believe, to use Microsoft products internally to run their business for free. It's just kind of one of those things like, hey, we're giving you these internal usage rights. So if you are a partner and you need anything, you know, you need some software, you want to run your business, we want you to be using our products so that you understand our products and you can go sell them to customers. So now what's going to happen next year, July 1, 2020, that benefit is ending. So all these people who've been using Microsoft products for free to run their business, that's over. And the way they told them was in a static blog post page, basically. if you're a smaller partner, especially, and you haven't been paying for Azure, you haven't been paying for Office 365, you haven't been paying for SQL Server, you haven't been paying for any of those products, you're going to have to start paying for them if you're using them to run your business. And the only thing you can do with Microsoft products still is to use them for demonstration purposes or testing inside your organization, but you can't run your business on them starting next year. So that's big.
You know, you can run your business on next year for free is Linux.
Yeah, exactly. And some other things. So, of course, when partners saw this, they went ballistic, basically. They said, wait a minute. Like, we pay to be partners. And if you're a gold partner or you're a silver partner, you pay a lot to be a partner. And now you're telling us one of the benefits that we've just kind of counted on because we pay you to be your partner is going away. And we're going to have to start paying for this stuff ourselves. I get Microsoft's thinking here. I do, because they probably are saying, look at all this money we're losing by not charging them for licenses to our products. But,
yeah.
But I mean, at the same time, you got to wonder, and when you're doing the cost benefit analysis, Is it worth losing these partners and maybe having them go to competitive products because they can get them cheaper or for free?
You're all three of us, and then most people listening to this podcast have probably been involved in some work-related decision where someone looked at a spreadsheet and said, looking at these numbers, we can save a lot of money if we remove this number from this cell in the spreadsheet, and everything will be fine. But what you don't see in this spreadsheet thing, and this is the problem with this type of thinking, is the ramifications, you know, that kind of cascade off of that. And in my case, you know, the reason I'm where I am today, which is not at Penton anymore, is because of that kind of thinking, you know, that someone came in, didn't understand what they were doing, knew they could get rid of some high-priced people at first and eventually basically everybody without understanding the ramifications of that decision. And it was, you know, it's just, it's, I don't, you know, there's no nice way to say it. It's really dumb thinking.
I've had a lot of partners say to me this week, well, you know, if enough of us complain, they're just going to change that, right? And my, I can't say to you, no, that won't happen. But I can tell you, I know they did not make this decision on the spur of the moment or lightly. I'm sure there were many studies about how many partners might we lose if we do this. Right. Oh, like Microsoft doesn't do things without telemetry and studies.
I was thinking more like studies, like how much would my bonus be if I saved X amount of dollars this quarter by eliminating all the free software?
Maybe that too. But but also you can bet they've thought this through. I mean, it's not just something that you can say, oh, they just did this. And you know what? Now they're going to change their mind. And next week at the Inspire Partner Show, they're just going to say, hey, just kidding. That was just a joke.
So actually, I think you quietly just voiced your theory there, which I believe amounted to, this is a way of nudging out some of the smaller partners. Is that right? So why, I mean, is this just a factor of Microsoft being this gigantic corporation now, and it's just from a scale perspective, doesn't make sense to have intimate relationships with very small partners anymore?
Paul, I don't think the word intimate relationships is exactly what you meant there.
What you think of.
Do I misunderstand what happens at the corporate level? I'm not in the corporate with Leo, but I understand there's a lot of sex.
So I can't take credit for the theory of the winnowing down of the partners. I would give that credit to Steve Mordew, who works for ForceWorks. He's a really great and outspoken Microsoft partner. In fact, I think he was the first one to point to this internal rights usage change. But you know, if you're, so here, there's a couple of ways of thinking about it. Microsoft for a long time has wanted to cull its number of partners, even though it's great to say, you know, we have X 100,000 partners or whatever they have now. It's also not great if you're a partner, if you're one of that many, because it's just like you're part of the unwashed masses, even though some partners bring in a ton of business and some bring in a much smaller amount of business, right? So if you talk to some people who are gold partners, in fact, I've seen people quoted who are gold partners saying, I don't really care if they winnow down the number of partners. I want there to be fewer gold partners because I want to be special. Like
being, as long as you're in the group.
A huge app store.
Yeah. As long as you get the intimate relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, there is that thinking. And that's been something over the years that, you know, it's kind of an ebb and flow in the Microsoft channel world. You see them some years really trying to build up the number of partners. Other years, you see them kind of culling the number of partners by making it harder to get certain competencies or making things more unobtainable, changing the rules.
So this isn't the first time this has happened.
You know, Microsoft, it's funny. They always talk about how much they love their partners and they have these big partner conferences. But if you talk to partners any given time or any given year, you always hear them grumbling about something that Microsoft's doing in the partner program that they feel like is aimed at them.
Right. There are a million examples. I mean, but the big push, I think, that worried partners the most was Microsoft's push to the cloud. And because there you get into a weird position. A lot of partners back in the day, at least the ones that I was familiar with, would do things like service Windows Server on-prem for you or Windows Small Business Server. And as those kind of installations went away for smaller businesses, I remember there was a transition period where partners could make some amount of money by helping someone transition to Office 365 or Exchange Online or whatever it was at the time. But the concern was the ongoing relationship. Right. You know, servicing a customer's cloud-based install is still possible, but to a lot of people, you know, they would say, well, why don't we just deal with Microsoft? Why do we need a middleman here? And I think they, I think that accelerated these bad feelings in some ways.
And so, you know, what Microsoft wants and has wanted their partners to do for years is get more cloud-centric, just like they're trying to be more cloud-centric. They don't want you out there like doing something, you know, to fix Exchange mailboxes. They want you out there selling Azure, right? They want you out there selling Microsoft 365. And so without basically forcing their partners to do that, they can guide them to do that, right? By taking away certain things for people who they're like, yeah, if we lose them, we don't care. I know. It's not great.
And it's like parenting.
Sort of. If you were really harsh. Like,
well, I want you to make the right decision, but if you're not going to...
you got five kids. If you leave one behind, no big deal.
80%. It's not
80%.
Bad.
80%.
I think, though, this is a very... I'm really curious how this plays out because already people are saying, okay, I'm not going to renew. That's it. I'm not going to become a Microsoft Action Pack subscriber this year. I'm done. Like, if you guys are doing that, I'm out.
Well, the timing is kind of messed up because Inspire, right more than any other Microsoft show, and is kind of a love fest.
Yeah.
You know, it is.
Generally.
It is. But, you know,
so
instead of calling it
Inspire, they should name it Demotivate and just...
yes.
You know, those demotivation posters.
This week at Microsoft Insipid.
Yeah.
It is an odd time to do this, but I guess you want to do...
But it's tied to their fiscal year start, right?
July 1.
So
that's
what they can't get around. And plus, if you're Microsoft and you're going to institute something like this, you want to have the word be out before everybody shows up in Las Vegas next week. You're hoping some people have cooled down and maybe have a different take. And you can stand up there on the stage if you're Gabriella Schuster, who runs the channel program, and say, okay, we know you guys aren't happy about this internal use thing. Here's the reason why we're doing it.
Do you think she'll actually say that?
If I were her, I would.
You have to.
I would too, but...
You have to. You can't. I think if you don't, you will have an insurrection. You'll have people coming up to the stage and saying, what's going on?
Well, you have to think there's something to counter it, you know? The other thing, I guess, is, you know, when you talk about smaller partners versus bigger partners, aside from the fact that they announced this way too late for anyone to change their travel plans to Las Vegas next week, I don't know what the actual mix of partners is at Inspire, but I would imagine it trends toward the larger partners, right? If your message is, hey, we made these changes and we know it's hard, but here's what's happening, that will benefit those guys. I mean, it may end up being net positive. If there is something. Yeah, I don't know what they're
saying. Yeah, so here's the blanket statement they're saying right now. They're saying, we made this decision to invest more heavily in programs and resources that support new business growth and help partners connect with other customers and other partners and sales teams. So they're saying, the reason we did this is we had to decide and prioritize how we're spending our money in the channel, and we decided, instead of giving you free software and services, we're instead going to invest in the programs that we think will help grow your business. The question is, do you buy that if you're a partner?
Right.
So, and can they convince them, right?
I would guess at least half our audience are partners.
I think a lot of them are.
Have some official relationship with Microsoft, sure.
So, but for those of us who aren't, what is a partner?
Yes.
I mean, I kind of get it. When you say channel, are they consultants? They're people who resell Microsoft?
Yeah, they can be. They're people who resell Microsoft products and services.
Okay.
And of course,
Systems integrators, VARs, you know, people used to be called VARs, value-added resellers.
Because the market has changed. You know, that you used to see one of those on every street corner, and now it's not so commonplace. I mean, I remember going to the computer store, it would say, right? Yeah.
So, for example, I just brought up my Office 365 commercial account. I hadn't used it for a while, and there's something wrong with my mailbox. And you know, they actually call you back. They call you on the phone, you know. But Microsoft calls you, right? Because I did this directly with Microsoft. So
normally, you know, it'd be your partner.
Well, actually, normally, I think the issue here is normally it probably is Microsoft. I mean, it could be a partner. If I had bought this with some other services through a Microsoft partner, I would have them handle it, and they would probably be the ones talking to Microsoft on the phone or whatever. But, you know, increasingly, because of the nature of the cloud, I mean, for smaller companies especially,
speaking,
I don't know that a third party is
required. As somebody who uses, I'm pretty sure Russell, our IT guy, is a partner. He's a very small partner, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
And I wonder how this. I'll have to ask Russell how he feels about this. I mean, he's not going to. I'm sure he's not going to Inspire. But nonetheless, and as a customer of his, it impacts me too, right? Because,
you want your partners to be really savvy about all the different products that Microsoft has, right? Like you want them to be able to say, oh yeah, I run SQL Server, I run Azure, I run Office 365. You don't want them to say, you know, I used to run Office 365, but I can't afford the license anymore. So I don't know, if you want it, I can look into it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be some exceptions. There's going to be, if you have a competency in the Microsoft partner network that you've achieved, I believe you'll still be able to use those products internally for free, but I might be wrong about that. But it's, they're definitely cracking down on who gets to use this stuff for free. And my guess is it used to not cost them that much money when it was like Office on the desktop or Windows 95 or Windows 2000. But now when you're talking about Azure credits and, you know, virtual machines running in the cloud and Microsoft's paying for all that, that gets more expensive for Microsoft, right?
Yep. Azure credits sounds like the form of money in a science fiction story.
It does.
I'm going to pay you in Azure credits.
Here's some tokens. Yeah. So partners are saying, I think there's even a petition that somebody has started that they're going to circulate at Ignite, trying to get this reinstated. I think if this is still in place by Ignite, you don't have much hope. I think. Because that's November, right? I mean, I think either Microsoft's going to give some softening to this because so many people are screaming, or at least make some gesture, or they're just going to say, suck it up and that's it. You got to deal with it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, there's lots of mad partners online right now.
Yeah, I bet there are.
I'm getting lots of tweets and email from people who are like, did you see this? I'm like, yes, I wrote about it, in fact.
Yeah.
Right.
And again, as a customer of one of these partners, one of the small partners, I wonder how that's going to change how we work with them, right?
Mm-hmm. One thing is, if you're a partner, you can pass the costs on to your customer, you know, raise costs, and then you use the money you get to buy software licenses.
That's probably what'll happen. So really, we're going to pay for it. So Russell's a Microsoft certified partner, and the people who work for him are certified professionals or Microsoft certified systems engineers. So they're, and he's small. You know, so he's
normally sized. I don't think that's right.
Smallish. You know, I mean, he focuses in the North Bay area. It's not, not a massive company. So I would guess he's one of the people who will be most impacted by this. I'll have to ask him what he thinks.
Yeah.
This stuff's been around forever. I remember, I think the Action Pack, I think this was something from the late 90s,
people were getting it.
It was like, it's just like a great way to get free Microsoft software, you know?
Yeah. It might even be older than that. It's been around.
Yeah, I remember seeing it for the first time.
His website says, additionally, we're a Microsoft certified partner. This gives us access to the latest security information and support services. And our consultants have the valuable knowledge from Microsoft certification programs. So, I mean, it's a valuable thing. It's on his front page of his website.
Yeah.
So that's something you want. And it was, for us, because we do use a lot of Microsoft stuff. We're G Suite, but we do use a lot of Microsoft stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's an important thing. He supports all of our Windows machines. All our editors are using Windows. And we have, whatever they call those enterprise licenses and all that stuff. Yeah. So, oh, boy.
Should be an interesting Inspire for anybody.
Are you guys going?
We can't go.
No.
We can't go. No.
No, they just invited us a couple of years back.
Oh, you mean you literally, journalists are not allowed?
Yeah.
No, journalists and analysts are not.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But the reason is they co-located Inspire with their internal sales meeting called Ready.
They don't want you.
Here's their worst case scenario. A bunch of us journalists running around Las Vegas with all their salespeople drinking and carousing in bars. They probably don't want that.
Make you want to go, though? I mean, this is what a fertile ground.
You know what? If they didn't know what I looked like or I still had my wigs and costumes, I might be tempted to go to Vegas.
Wait a minute. Did you say still had my wigs and costumes?
You know, I've been known to show up at places I'm not invited and hide.
Did you know this, Paul?
Yep.
She goes in disguise? You're like a secret shopper?
It's happened.
If I still had my wigs and costumes, laments Mary Jo Foley.
Who hasn't uttered those words?
I do. Well, I do have my wigs and costumes, so I'm okay.
I have some great stories of sneaking into places. And so I haven't done it in a while because once everybody started knowing what I looked like, it got harder and harder to do. But
very famously, Ruth Reichel, the New York Times food critic, was very careful to protect her identity because and this is hard in this day and age.
But, it is.
But 20 years ago, when she went to a restaurant, she didn't want to get any special service. She wanted to know what it was like for a normal person.
Right.
Right. She would wear disguises.
It used to be great. When I first moved to Seattle, I snuck into a Microsoft conference at a hotel downtown because nobody knew it was me. And so I hid in the ladies' room. Then when it started, I came out and I got into the audience. And then when they went on lunch break, I looked at the binders they left on the table and wrote a bunch of notes.
What a fertile source.
I was just like, yes.
Is it considered bad form?
It's very bad form. Yeah. I'm lucky I didn't get arrested. But
you know who still has his wigs and costumes?
Sure.
Brad Sams could probably.
Yeah, famous cosplay enthusiast Brad Sams. I snuck into the NT 5.0 Beta 2 when they signed off on it internally. Like, I just walked through the door because I look like
you
Microsoft
did?
Guys. Yeah, and it was like a Nazi youth rally in there. What's the phrase for when you follow someone with a key card? Do you remember they had a phrase for that?
Oh, yeah, chasing? No, that sounds wrong.
Yeah, this is a term for it. But anyway, you can't do it now. Now everyone has to do their own card when they go through. But back then it was much more lax. I mean, this is 1998. And we had been at the Reviewers Workshop, and they had said something like, well, we're going to go back to the campus and sign off on the code. And I looked at the guy I was with, and I was like, let's go. And so we went over there, and we just walked through the door.
You did?
And it was Jim Alchin and Steve Ballmer. They led a chant that literally, it was like a Nazi chant, except it was NT everywhere. And the whole room was like, NT everywhere, NT everywhere, NT everywhere.
Oh, my God.
And this guy and I looked at each other. We were like, we got to get the hell
out
of here.
It's like you snuck into a Klan meeting.
Yeah, so we snuck out the back. And we're literally just through the door. This guy goes, you two, hold on a sec.
Oh! Like,
oh, crap. So I turned around, and I'm like, what? And he goes, you forgot your T-shirt.
Oh!
And he handed me the swag.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
That's almost as bad as going to the Yale Club.
Like, that's criminals, I guess we just take the T-shirt. I don't,
Oh, man. If you had had cell phones where you could have easily, recorded that.
It was unbelievable. But you know what the worst part about the story is so this is August 1998. It was NT 5.0 Beta 2. They were chanting NT everywhere. They changed the name of this product to Windows 2000 two weeks later.
It doesn't really work. Windows 2000 everywhere. Yeah. No, this doesn't scan.
Yeah, they got rid of the name. They killed NT, especially, the brand NT.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
NT or something like it everywhere.
Yeah, right.
The brand formerly known as NT everywhere.
It's built on NT technology everywhere.
Wow. You guys are intrepid. I am impressed. Me impressed.
These days, I don't know if I would dare to do some of the things I've done to.
We also, Mary Jo and I together snuck down. Remember that time
we
New York to see Greg? So
that was hilarious.
We literally snuck into the building, and we said, some guy stopped us, and we said, no, it's okay, we're with Microsoft. And he let us through, because they were setting up down.
Yeah, you guys look like you're with them, and he just let us walk through.
It's like Nancy Drew.
But we snuck downstairs, and they were setting up. And you know in the Three Stooges where there's the doorway, and they stick their heads in, like one over the other? Mary Jo and I literally did that. And then some guy goes, that's the rod, and Mary
Jo. That's the rod, get him!
We ran up the stairs. And we ran up the stairs, and one of the Microsoft guys texts me. He goes, did you guys just come into our meeting? Was that you? And I'm like, no.
No, not me. Somebody looked at me.
Okay.
Like, we're in the bar of the hotel lobby, though. And he goes, yeah, it was you.
Yeah. You can't get away with it anymore.
Yeah. No. It would be tough to do it now.
600-something podcast episodes later, I think.
We know Chris Capicella knows what you look like.
He does.
Yeah, unfortunately. Oh, man. That's too bad. But is there a code kind of against that? Or no, it's kind of encouraged, right? Amendment or whatever it was. Whatever
we
amendment
should go,
it is.
You know what we could do? We could go to Las Vegas, right, next week, and we could just hang out at a hotel.
Yes.
But if we tried to sneak into anything, I'm sure they would either threaten to arrest us.
By the way, it would be very difficult. I can tell you, just from you've seen the – well, actually, you haven't. So when we go to Vegas, because you don't go to CES – The guys they have guarding the Microsoft area at CES are from the mob. Yeah. Like they are literally the Las Vegas mob. I'm not joking. Like they're serious looking guys.
I'll tell
guys.
You what's always worked for me. You bring a laptop and you just turn it around and point the camera at the stage and stream it. And then you'll...
Yeah, no, that works great.
That goes well, right?
Really goes over well. Really does.
Works
and then, fine. Yeah. So apparently it's not just the partners. The field salespeople aren't thrilled about this either.
Yeah.
What's happening to them?
So, you know, like I said, July 1, new fiscal. Usually there's reorgs. Sometimes there are layoffs. And this week we heard that some people are being called in at Microsoft and told that they had no more job. And a lot of these people are on the field sales team. I don't know exactly how many people. No, just because it's July 1, start of the new fiscal. Yeah, and
always, every July, there's always something.
There's a reorg, isn't there, or something?
Yeah, so there's been a couple of smaller reorgs. There was a marketing reorg July 1 that involved Microsoft 365.
Well, actually, I remember there was a reorg right around the
Before
time
that.
We were built. So
there was. So it's kind of like rolling reorgs. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So they move people around. They shift them from different teams sometimes. In this case, field sales, which is a really huge organization at Microsoft, they were the ones who in 2017, this time of year, lost several thousand people when Microsoft did a major sales reorg. They have periodic reorgs for sales, and they're always trying to figure out how best to help partners sell and also to sell directly to customers. So this week they are starting to lay off people or give them a chance to find a new job internally who are called modern desktop technical sales professionals. So modern desktop TSPs. A big part of these people's role is selling Windows. They sell Microsoft 365, but a lot of them, if you look at their resumes online, their experience is in selling Windows. And they're all being that role basically is being eliminated.
Yeah, because who needs to sell Windows anymore?
Who needs to sell Windows anymore? Right. We want to sell Azure, right?
I mean, because everyone already wants it. That's what you mean, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's it.
Actually, that was kind of a sinecure all along. I mean, really. Hi, I'm here. Have you ever heard of Windows?
What do you use?
How do you copy files on your computer? I mean, Windows doesn't seem like that's something you have to sell.
Well, you know, it does 3D stuff too. I'm
here selling Windows. No, we already
have
all the
of
Windows
Paint 3D?
We need. I don't understand. What do you even do if you're a Windows salesman?
Other operating systems make you buy something called Paintbrush. We just put it right in the box.
Throw it right in.
No, well, you know, they're out there trying to get you to upgrade for one. Like if you're a Windows 7 user, you send some salespeople out there. Hey, have you seen what Windows 10 can do? Look at this. Hey, how about these emoji over here?
Yeah.
Look at those.
I just did that
for Paul.
I think these guys have been coasting for too long. It's time to lay them off. I mean, with all
I don't know. Well, you know, I think what it shows me is right now I feel like engineering's already kind of come around to the one Microsoft thing and everybody's on board with this Microsoft 365 message. Or if you're not, you're out already. But now they're doing it with marketing and sales. And they're like, okay, like we can't keep selling the way we always did.
No.
Things have changed.
It is
right?
Really different these days.
So.
By the way, Paul, I have to thank you because you were talking about, we were talking about ebooks last week and you mentioned the only ebook you ever bought in the Microsoft store was Neil Stephenson's in the beginning was the Command one.
Yeah.
And I thought, I forgot about that. And I reread it this week. And even though
it's fascinating
it's
still,
20
isn't it?
Years old.
Yeah.
So
he talks about BOS. When he talks about the alternatives you have, it's Windows, Mac,
and
Linux, and BOS.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But fundamentally, the fundamental premises of it are pretty right on, and in a way prescient, because here we are 20 years later. He's got a great analogy of the crossroads. I can't really do it
justice. Just so people know, he wrote the book because his PowerBook at the time failed. He brought it to an Apple dealer, tried to get it fixed. They couldn't fix it. He lost...
Aye.
Whatever he lost. And he said, you know, I'm not going to be beholden to these proprietary file systems, file formats, you know, whatever. And so he started examining what was available and he ended up writing about it.
And now he writes all his books in longhand. on pieces of paper.
Right. He's kind of a freak. I mean, let's just be honest. But
if you go to the Experience Music Project, whatever they call it now in Seattle, the Paul Allen Museum, I think it was there. They have a stack, a ream, like a paper. It's 5 feet high.
Yeah.
Stack of paper and 100 fountain pens that Neil used to write. I don't remember which novel, Cryptonomicon or the Snow Crash or something. Yeah. They have the whole manuscript, and he longhanded it the whole time.
I don't approve of that.
No. But that's dumb to me. I have to say, that book in the beginning of the command line, everybody should read. You can find it online. You can buy it still. It's still in print.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty interesting, and it's a little prescient because 20 years later, mm-hmm. I think some of the things he talked about.
By the way, by far the shortest thing he's ever written. It's about the length of a typical chapter in one of his books.
It's a two-hour read, so if you want to dip into Neal Stephenson, it is written. He is such a good writer. I look at him and I think, but I can't ever write because
I spent
so good.
Years of my life trying to finish the System of the World series. I think it's the name of it.
I'm in the middle
the trilogy
of it again. The Quicksilver.
Yeah, it's Baroque cycle. It makes Game of Thrones look like a pamphlet.
Yeah,
you know.
You know, one thing I realized though, I'm sorry, Mary Jo. We'll get back to Windows in a second.
Hey, we're not talking about goats this week.
Sorry.
It's early.
Sorry. His is a lot of exposition in some of his stuff, and the Baroque cycle is there's a lot
the Baroque
of
exposition.
There's a lot.
The System
of
the World was one of the books, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It starts with Quicksilver, and then sometimes they call it the Quicksilver trilogy. But if you buy it on Audible, it's 6 books. So
my God, it must be. It's so like long. How long does it take to listen to this? 1.5 lifetimes.
I bought them all. It's 500 hours or something. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I could imagine.
But this one, in the beginning, was a command line. Recommend it to everybody listening. It's a quick read. I'm going to see if I can get the rights to record it, because I think it'd be a great audio book. Just a quick little audio book.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. It's so good. Anyway, he's such a great writer. Enough said about that. By the way, I pulled out my fountain pen, and it's out of ink, so I can't write my novel. There you go. Sales team not happy. You know what? Let's take a little break.
Yeah. Let's have some upbeat news after the break.
And we'll do some upbeat news. And I notice you don't have in here, but it is in the news today. Microsoft is opening its London store. And I'm wondering if...
Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
Paul, when you go to Amsterdam, you might just hop over the...
Yeah, so originally we were going to do a side trip to London, and I absolutely was going there. And I don't know. We're right now we're in kind of a holding pattern on that, so I'm not really sure.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that. And Mary Jo is missing a beer pick, I notice.
Oh, yeah, it's still coming.
She's still working on it. So if you have any suggestions, tweet her right now, right?
Then I've got a list of suggestions. I'm like deciding which one to pick.
I think from now on at the end of the show, you should crack open a cold one. Just
do you? Yeah. Just like the last sound is like...
Yep. I'll drink a spiked seltzer.
Our show today brought. I was really pleased to receive the news about ExpressVPN yesterday. They've been a longtime sponsor. They're our preferred VPN service. I've talked about VPNs before and choosing a VPN, but let me explain, give you a little history, and then we can talk about the big news story. A VPN is a virtual private network. I'm sure you're familiar with the idea. Started first in enterprise. If you were a remote employee, you weren't on campus, you weren't in the building, but you still wanted to access the company network, you would, download a program from Cisco or something that would let you log into the company network over the public internet, and it would encrypt the data so that it was secure and private and would, authenticate you so only you could get into the corporate network, that kind of thing. That was my first experience with a VPN. I still use a VPN to get into the premier radio networks resources. But then people realized, this would be useful if you were at an insecure hotspot with the rise of coffee shops and other places with Wi-Fi. People thought, if we could use a VPN, I think probably initially what they did is use their business VPN, go to their office and surf the net from there, right? But over the years, commercial VPN services have arisen. Essentially, it's the same idea. You don't need any special software anymore. In fact, ExpressVPN has apps for every platform, so it's very simple. You launch the app, press a button. This is so much easier than it used to be. And then you're connecting with an ExpressVPN server. Now, they have servers all over the world, and that's for a couple of reasons. One, you want to use this for speed. You want to use one close to you. But also, you may want to emerge not in your country of origin, but in another country. You know, you're Paul in Amsterdam. You want to be watching Netflix with your U.S. account. You might use a VPN to do that. So that's another reason that you might want to use a VPN. You probably have seen and heard about VPNs. There's even some free VPNs. Stop. Because, yes, of course, people can use VPNs to be more secure, to eliminate geographic restrictions, also to protect your privacy, right? Because ISPs and your phone carrier, they're spying on what you do. They sell all the sites you're visiting. They sell that to a third party for marketing purposes. So that's another good reason to use a VPN. You got to choose carefully, though, because there are VPN providers, especially the cheap and free ones, that will do the same thing, you know, because they see where you're going. You've kicked the can down the road, the privacy and security can down the road, but you got to trust this VPN server because they're going to see what you're doing. There's even VPN companies that will inject advertising into your stream so you see ads that aren't there. I've recommended ExpressVPN for a long time. They're very fast. In fact, they have a new trusted server technology. Very cutting edge. It prevents the operating system and apps from ever writing to the hard drive. That is really good. You're sandboxed. So it's good for security, but also the trusted server protects your privacy. ExpressVPN, and this is an absolute must, does not log anything you're doing. And I can say this now because ExpressVPN just got, and this just came out yesterday, independently audited by PwC. And they said that ExpressVPN servers and code comply with exactly with their privacy policy. You should always read a VPN's privacy policy to make sure, including not collecting activity logs, not collecting connection logs, and they certified that this trusted server technology works exactly as described. You don't have to trust me. You can trust an independent third-party audit. It really works. I love ExpressVPN. A little less than $7 a month, 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you try it and you say it's not what you said it would be, well, you will, but if you can get your money back. So you got to try this. If you're looking for a VPN, expressvpn.com/windows. Stop hackers. Stop Big Brother. Stop commercial spying. Take back your online privacy. Protect your security. ExpressVPN. It is the number one VPN provider as far as I'm concerned. Protect your online activity today. Find out how you can get 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. expressvpn.com/windows. Express, E-X-P-R-E-S-S. Spell it out. VPN.com/windows. Sign up for a 1-year package. That's the best deal. You'll get an extra 3 months, making an even better deal. That's 25% off, right? If my math is right. ExpressVPN.com/windows. Do you use, when you go to Amsterdam, would you use a VPN, Paul, or do you trust?
I actually use ExpressVPN.
Unsolicited. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing up my sleeves. Have I ever met you before? Never.
It's true. You can find it on my site. I've written about it.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, I didn't know. I literally didn't know that. I was walking right into a trap.
All right. No, okay. It's good.
Yeah, it works. And they have servers in Amsterdam. In
yeah, they do.
Yeah. Windows 10.
Is that still a thing?
It's
still. Oh, yeah, look at that.
I guess that's still around.
So I got a question for you. So we had a guy call the radio show. You know, we've talked because starting January, Windows 7 will no longer get updates. We've been talking a lot about upgrading. You've mentioned that maybe if you have a key from a purchased version of Windows 7, that might still work for the free upgrade.
Yeah.
So this guy calls and says, here's what you do. And this works. And a number of people have verified this. And Mike and Chris Capicella, if you're listening, oh, look, there's a squirrel. So he says, if you go to the Windows Media Creation Tool page, there's a button. I can't remember what it says, but something like if you've already got, you know, if you've already, if, oh, now I'm going to have to look it up. Media Creator Tool. This is where you download the ISO, the Media Creation Tool. Download Windows 10 disk image. He said the button at the top, if you right-click on it and get the URL, even if you don't have a serial number, if you've never installed Windows 10, but you download it from that link, it authenticates, and you're done.
Oh, I don't...
from a bare drive.
Well, okay. So
that's no longer
like a brand new computer you built yourself kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can't condone that kind of activity. But I, in the wake of our discussion about this, I heard from a number of people who said, yeah, sure enough, you know, it works with OEM keys as well as retail keys, which are the only things that I've really tested. I was thinking about this and it kind of occurred to me that, you know, any modern PC has the product key for Windows, or the fact that Windows is activated is kind of baked into the hardware, and Windows setup can see that. And you know, of course they're just going to allow it. You know, they're not really, unless it's an incompatible chipset or whatever.
They're anxious to everybody move. I have my solution to this is they're not going to publicize it. They're not going to admit it, but they happy if you're all on Windows 10. That's really what they want in the long run. Right.
Yep.
I'd like to hear from someone who bought a System 76 PC and then tried to do this on that computer. You know, I don't know how that works, but it seems like in most cases, a call to Microsoft, you know, if you had to activate that way, I can't say it's no questions asked. They're going to ask some questions, but, you know, I have a PC, I upgraded it, and it's not working. And
it came with Windows anyway, right? You bought it with Windows, maybe it's Windows 7.
I would gladly pay for Windows 10 today if I could have Windows 7 tomorrow. I don't know.
This guy, I guess it's not technically legal.
Is that the word you're striving to find? So the...
I have the link.
I'm confused what you mean. So in other words, you go to the page where you create the tool.
No, you don't have to create the tool.
Okay.
So you go to the Windows 10 ISO page, and the top link. I wish I could remember the exact details.
If this is on the web.
On the web.
Well, I mean, why don't you just look for it now?
Because I'm on.
If you go to. I see.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so what I see is you can update to the Windows 10 May 2019
update. Yeah, so right-click that, and you'll get a link to go.microsoft.com/fwlink/?id=799445. You can actually use that link and download an ISO. He says, now I haven't tried it, but a couple of people in the chat room tried it and said, He says that link.
So this is the upgrade link. This is like assumes you have Windows. I see what you're saying.
Apparently, there's something
about
that.
I don't know, but this is just an EXE. Like, this doesn't create an ISO.
It makes the USB key. It's an ISO, isn't it?
No.
No, what is it? I don't know. Maybe he's lying to me.
No, let me hold on. No, this is just the update assistant. So, let me look at this other
one. This guy helps seniors, and he says this has always worked for him.
All right, I need more.
I'm sorry.
Is for the update assistant.
Yeah.
So I suppose the problem is I'm running it on Windows 10. Actually, it might be interesting for you to do this on Linux or some other system to see what you get.
I get an EXE file.
Because when you do get an EXE file.
Yeah.
And what's it called?
It is called Windows 10 Upgrade 952.exe.
Yeah, so that's just the update
assistant, advisor
or upgrade assistant or whatever.
Okay.
So, but I'm wondering. I guess what I'm wondering is if you ran that on Windows 7,
he says,
would it in fact,
it works. It just and he says, and I said it authenticates. Now you know there's also this is why it's hard to track these anecdotal things down because maybe it was authentic. Maybe somebody installed Windows 10 previously on it, and that's why it's authenticating. I don't know
exactly. Yeah, well, that's my point. Like, I feel like most modern PCs have already been electronically activated for Windows, and that they would work and for the same reason that
they have the entitlement.
An upgrade, a retail key would work. But
so forget I mentioned it. I'm sorry.
Well, now you make me curious. Like, if I were to run this on a previous version of Windows, would it in fact upgrade you to Windows 10 for free? And now I'm going to have to test this. Thanks, Leo.
Schmuck.
You needed more to do today, didn't you?
Yeah, no, I wasn't busy. I'm not going away next week or anything. Don't worry about it.
So the interesting thing to me, though, is that you have confirmed what you thought was the case last week, which is that serial number from your Windows 7 is sufficient still.
Well, I've heard from some people. This is something I
so
can't.
So hard to prove, yeah.
Either
yeah.
can't test or can't easily test, and I certainly can't make a blanket statement about it. If I went down to my cellar and I found three or four Windows 7 PCs or whatever and try to do a free upgrade, all I could say is I did it on three or four computers and it worked. Like I can't guarantee you that this will always work. All I know is that a retail product keys always work.
So what seems to be the case is that Microsoft is not being too careful about validating.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably the case that they're not going to publicize this. They don't want to say it's free. Right. I wonder if come December or January they might do a quickie upgrade for free or cheap.
If you go to their page right now, I just looked at this the other day that says when you're moving from 7 to 10, what you have to be aware of. It says right in plain text that the free upgrade's over. That's what it just says. Yeah. It doesn't give you any out. It's just it's
so
over.
The only reason I don't think they will do that is that, you know, back in 2015, there were X number of computers out in the world that qualified for this upgrade. And the people that wanted it, of course, were going to get it for free.
When
you flash forward 4 years later, 4.5, whatever it is, the number of PCs that are out in the world that can run Windows 10 that aren't are people, either computers that can't or people that do not want to run Windows 10, you know? And so I guess, I suppose if support's ending or, you know, whatever, that might trigger a few people to want to upgrade. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a much smaller audience.
Yeah, this is going to work for people who are sophisticated enough to say, well, I'm going to take a chance, see if it works. If not, I have an image of my old. Because you can't, if it doesn't work, you kind of messed up your system. You'll have an unauthenticated version of Windows 10. But if you're smart enough to know, you can roll it back.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I said last time, whenever that was, a couple weeks ago. Yeah. If you're going to do this, it's fine. But just make sure you backed up and you can get that thing back.
Yeah.
You know,
image your
run
system.
Recovery disk or whatever it's called in your version of Windows. Boot your computer with it. Make sure it works. And if it does, then go nuts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's just interesting. Is the assist? So, if you're using assistive technologies, do they still offer that upgrade for free? Is that still?
Actually, I believe they do.
I thought that wasn't going away, right?
Yeah, I don't think that's ever going to change.
Okay, that's good. That's a nice thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember when that was that came up, but it was sometime in the last year, and it was still available. Yeah. So I would be surprised if it wasn't still. Mm-hmm. And actually, because that was one of the I don't remember who it was. So I'm not dumping on somebody, but one of the less reputable sites, you know, published a tip like, here's how you can get Windows 10 upgrade.
That's not nice.
And it was, you know, pretend you need assistive technologies. It's like parking in a handicap spot because you're just running in quick. You know.
Don't do that.
It's just not okay.
That's not cool. So, Windows 10 20H1.
Yep.
Yes.
We have a lot of balls we're juggling on Windows right now.
I think Paul just opened a beer.
19H2.
Yeah, it's this off-brand grapefruit sparkling water.
Mm.
Once we start talking about Windows 10, he's got to pop something right there. Yeah. So we're tracking so many. I feel like Microsoft. We're tracking so many different versions of Windows all the time now. It's hard to explain what we're talking about. So 19H2, we've got a test build of that out in the slow ring now. This week, they put out an ISO for 20H1, which is the version coming next year. They get a new build of server for 20H1 that came out yesterday, but it doesn't say in the notes anything about it. So I guess if you're somebody... Did you see that?
Mystery server.
I looked at it. I was thinking about writing about it. And then I was like, I must be an idiot because I don't see anything here that explains...
No.
What's
it just said,
on?
Hey, we have a new build of server 20H1. Well, they don't even call it that. They call it the vNext, which is super confusing because there's going to be a Windows Server 1909. That is what I would call vNext. But then there's also server 20H1. And the product they're testing is 20H1. but the release notes that came out yesterday, it didn't say anything. It just said we have a new version, but there was absolutely nothing listed about features or updates or known issues. It was nothing at all.
Right.
So, lots going on. Oh, yeah. And then Patch Tuesday, they released cumulative updates for like every variant of Windows known to woman. They got 1507.
Wow.
All the way up to 1903.
Known to woman. That's what we're doing now.
Hey, today's the U.S. Women's ticker tape parade here in New York for soccer.
Woo-hoo!
Got to throw that out there.
Megan Rapinoe. Woo!
Woohoo!
Anyway.
Equal pay.
I am all for equal pay.
I saw an article on one of the blogs saying, for the 873rd time, New York should have a parade in which people throw trash out their windows.
What?
That's well, every day, guys.
Sticker tape is basically, you know, your leftover paperwork.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's nice.
I think it's great. I'm all for it.
Yeah. Totally.
They deserve
it's
it.
It's good enough for Tricky Dick. It's good enough for Megan Rapinoe.
That's right.
Did Richard Nixon get a ticker tape parade in New York City?
Didn't everyone get a ticker tape parade in New York back in those days?
No, not everyone.
Not everyone. Neil Armstrong.
Yep.
Buzz Aldrin. Michael Collins did.
That's Michael Collins, really?
Who is Michael Collins?
Oh, my God. The suffering of that poor man. So, in Apollo 11, which is now celebrating, by the way, its 50th anniversary in about a week, they're going to land on the moon. No, wait a minute. Is it July 11th? When is it? I can't remember. It's soon. 50th anniversary. Yep. You remember the guy, the first guy to step off the lunar module was Neil Armstrong. Second guy was Buzz Aldrin. They were the first two humans ever to walk on the moon. But there was a third astronaut. He was up there in orbit. Yep. Didn't get to go.
Stuck in the porta toilet.
Michael Collins.
And now no one knows his name.
Apparently Mary Jo doesn't.
I did not.
Michael Collins.
I was surprised to let him in the parade.
Oh, my God. You guys are cold. He had the toughest job of all.
All across the country to get to the place you go, and you go to knock on the door, and you're like,
stay in the car. You stay in the car.
Yeah.
Have fun on the moon, but guys. I'll see you in a couple of days. Bye. I'll just stay up here eating bad food and looking out the window.
Drinking some Tang.
Drinking Tang.
Audible fans, one of the Audible original picks this week involves the moon landing and has to do with the guy who figured out that the way to do it is the way they did it and not with some giant ship.
I picked that one. Yeah. Because they were going to do... Wernher von Braun wanted to do, like, in the science fiction movies, it's just shoot
a gigantic ship
all the way to the moon. And the guy said, no, that's not what you do. You do little parts, separate pieces.
Listen, I can put together something with balsa wood and aluminum foil. This is going to be great.
Okay. Ticker tape parade. Is that today?
Yeah.
Yay.
It was this morning. Yep.
Did you stick your head out the window and go,
I'm not in that part of New York where it was. It was downtown, the financial park.
The pieces of paper, red, white, blue, and purple?
What do they do these days? Is it actual ticker tape, or do they like hand out special ticker tape, biodegradable ticker tape packages?
Yeah, exactly. Good question.
We don't want the birds to choke on it.
That's what they do at weddings now.
Yep.
They say,
no more rice.
No more rice. Throw bird seed.
Right. You ever get bird seed in the eye? It's not good.
This is the most digressive show we've ever done. I don't know if that's a word, but it ought to be.
All right, let's get back on track.
On track.
Yeah.
I don't even know where we are.
What is
we're at Remix.
Remix 3D.
Speaking of being off track, Remix.
What is that?
Yeah.
So remember this community Microsoft launched when they launched the Creators Update? It was called Remix3D.com. And it was supposed to be a place where you could create 3D representations and store them, and then people could build on them. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Well, it's going away. Oh. It's going to be retired.
That didn't last
on January 10th, 2020. And you know, I didn't even think it was still in operation myself. When Microsoft kind of backed away from having HoloLens be a consumer thing and focused it pretty much exclusively on business, I thought Remix 3D went away, but it's still there for now.
Hmm. Well, because it's still you could still use it with Windows Mixed Reality headsets, right?
Right. So what's going to happen with Mixed Reality headsets?
So I don't want to name any names, but having spoken now with several PC makers about Windows Mixed Reality in these headsets, which, by the way, they continue to release, right?
Oh, really? I thought they had stopped. No,
they still make these things. So. And they've released new versions, right? As recently as this past January, I think. I don't remember who it was, but some company or companies released the higher res versions. What I've heard from at least three of these companies is this technology has completely failed with consumers. Like, it just has never taken off. But they've all seen some success with businesses. And I, you know, in the same vein where HoloLens makes certain sense, I guess in certain circumstances, some number of mixed reality headsets make sense too. So. I don't see the 3D stuff going away from Windows per se. But yeah. that site looked like more of an enthusiast kind of consumer-y site.
Was.
And I think that, you know, the kind of professional assets that a company would want are not going to be hosted up in right. remix3d.com or whatever it was.
No. And I see people asking, what does this mean for Paint3D? And I have no idea what it means.
Yeah.
Because they're still they're keeping regular paint around, which they originally were going to retire also.
Yep.
So I don't know if it means Paint3D goes away also at some point or what happens.
This is the year of what's old is new again, right? I mean, between UWP going away and they brought back, this didn't all happen this year, but they brought back WinForms and WPF. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, Windows or Paint is not going away. It's going to stay in Windows. I mean, it's been an interesting 12 months or whatever.
All I'll say, and you know I'm going to say it, Notepad's still there. There's still Notepad, no Notepad 3D.
As you know, Mary Jo, I have brought up many old versions of Windows. And I got to tell you, Notepad.exe in the first version of Windows is not too different than Notepad.exe today.
Good. It shouldn't be. Yeah. It's good. If something's not broken, you don't need to fix it.
Yeah. You could get work done in Windows 1.03. You know, other than not being able to get on the internet, I guess, but
otherwise it was great.
Other than that, it's fantastic. Yeah. Yep.
So yeah. Okay. Remix 3D. If you're one of the people who has content in there, you should look for articles about getting your content out before they nuke it.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. That's a good point. Yeah.
It seems like this was the Paint 3D version of like a clip art gallery you'd access through like Word or PowerPoint or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's exactly what it was.
It was a big part of the Creators Update launch, right? I mean, they really played it up as something that was going to be huge for schools and kids. And it was a big thing. So, yeah, that's just being swept under the rug.
Can you draw any bigger conclusion from this? Like, this is the end of augmented reality or VR?
No.
I just think that this type of thing should never have been in the OS. And, you know, there was just a push there for a couple of years to make Windows seem really exciting. Like, we were going to have these major releases twice a year, and there were going to be major releases, you know. And this was part of one of those or two of those. And I at the time, I just thought, this is just nonsense. Not because nobody needs this. Of course, people need it. Some people do. Artists, creator types, whatever. But that's not the majority of the people that use Windows. And I think the engagement was, well, we know it now. We can tell it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, the engagement was really low on this new stuff. And I think that's why the more recent 2-3 releases now, whatever, they've really scaled back. Mm-hmm. Because I just don't think people are not super engaged on Windows. You know, they're not really looking for this kind of stuff.
We remember that announcement, right? That was that.
Yeah.
It was kind of puzzling to me. Was this the one they had in a school? It was education focused, I remember.
Yes.
Is it the one where there was the sandcastle?
Yeah.
They were going to have the phone app, remember? That was the first thing they showed.
So right. The sandcastle thing where she, Megan Saunders, was walking around and taking a picture of a sandcastle, right? And then keeping it in 3D. Yeah.
And you could import that into.
Oh, yeah.
Probably paint 3D.
And even then, I remember thinking, well, that's it's cool. I don't see this becoming a central part of school curriculum.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
They were acting like
the Creators Update.
Every classroom will be doing it. It was the Windows 10 Creators Update. That was the whole
thing. Yeah, the Creators Update.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then the Fall Creators Update. That's when you knew they jumped the shark.
Wow. That's funny. That wasn't even that long ago.
Not really. What? When was
Let's just pretend it never happened. 1803, probably. No, it was earlier than that.
No, it was 1703, right?
1703,
1709, maybe.
Yeah,
so 2 years ago.
Yeah, probably 2 years ago.
Boy, that's a lot has happened in 2 years.
It was the Dark Ages. We're not going to go there.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Yeah. Non-Windows Microsoft news.
Look at that.
Microsoft.
That's a whole category. Now.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we bring you the non-Windows Microsoft news.
Dun, dun. So, Leo, I'm curious what you think about this.
Okay.
If you're familiar with the way that Android works, you know that.
I am. I'm looking at it.
I know. I mean, one is.
One is, yes.
There's a system-wide share facility. It's very slow.
Yes, because it loads everything you could possibly want. So yeah, Apple has
it's
a similar...
not customizable. And,
well, it is, but not in the same way.
Well, I should say, sorry. It's not easily customizable. Right. It's supposedly much faster in Android Q. I can tell you from having used it, it is a little faster, but it hasn't solved the problem.
That's okay, because faster hardware is coming, and then everything will be fast.
Yeah, that's what we always said about Microsoft and Windows.
Right. Yeah.
All right, so... Microsoft is if you install a Microsoft app, and it differs depending on the app. If you install the Your Phone app, for example, and then you go to open a text document or a Word document or whatever it is somewhere else, share something, it will say, "Do you want to share it with this Microsoft app, which you do not have installed in your phone?" But there was an entry put in the share thing from the Your Phone app that's for another Microsoft app that you don't even have. And so it will say something like Outlook and then parenthetically install, or Word parenthetically install, something like that.
That's
so it's basically
annoying.
Like an advertisement.
That should not be in my share sheet.
Thank you. that's my point.
Yeah.
And they're doing it.
I don't really care.
No, well, you actually might care. Because if you actually went to go use this, the problem is it's already super slow. So now they're cluttering up this interface with additional icons. So you have to go hunt and peek for the one that you want.
Yeah.
And you're looking past things that you don't have on your phone. And it's just, it's
No, it's annoying.
It's definitely
annoying. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, ethically, I'm not sure where this falls. From the perspective of Google and Android, I have to think that now that Microsoft has done this, I mean, Microsoft's like a AAA publisher, like, what about the malware guys out there, or the more malicious type apps? I mean, you could see like a fake icon in there for an app that looks legit and it says install, and you go install it and it's not the right app. There's all kinds of stupid possibilities. So I suspect Google is going to work to curb this behavior.
Yeah. They talked about this on yesterday and All About Android, and we're pissed.
It's not
good.
It's just unclassy, I think is the way I would say it. I'm not sure if it's rises to the level of like advertisements in Windows 10. But it's,
it's a mistake that Google allowed it, to be honest. Mm. I mean, I guess it's
thing,
very
like,
simple to add things to the share.
Yeah. Right. How did this happen?
Right.
And so ultimately, and by the way, could this happen on iOS? Right. You have to think that even if it's possible.
No. Apple keeps it very
tight
lid on that.
Apple would be aggressive to prevent it. Yeah.
In a way, that's what I liked about the Android share sheet is every app you install kind of adds itself to the share sheet almost always. And then Apple, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. It's Apple kind of curates it.
Actually, right, if anything, so Apple I found to be kind of restrictive. I've noticed this recently. I want to share stories from Apple News to Pocket.
Oh, you can't.
Always. I never want to share it to anything else.
Right.
Pocket is like way over. I have to scroll over
all
the list to find it.
Yeah.
No matter how many times I selected it, never moves to the front.
Well, and then the worst thing, I don't know if you noticed this, but you're not sharing a link to the open web. You're sharing a link back to Apple News.
Apple News is the worst.
That is horrible.
The worst.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm just looking at my share. So let's just look on Android here. Just to give people an idea. So I want to share this British ambassador to the U.S. resigns. What a surprise.
Great.
And then the share link, and it goes on and on. And on and on. Now, it wasn't too slow on this Galaxy S10. It's a pretty fast phone. What's annoying is how long it is. You still have to find it.
Yeah.
I wish they'd order it. It doesn't seem to have any order.
But it should be ordered alphabetically and then by usage, right?
So that's right. You should be able to say.
If you use Add to Pocket, that should be at the top now.
I use Pinboard every time. That should be the number one.
That's highly customized. Well, so in Google, I'm sorry.
This
in
is Samsung. Android,
Yeah, they've changed it and they have like frequently used contacts at the top.
Oh yeah, and Q. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
and I know they're trying to.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a little too much.
And why would I want to send an article from the Washington Post about the British ambassador to my always on display? Why would I?
It's amazing how slow this is.
It's silly. It's silly. So this is in no apparent order. I don't even.
This is not the type of behavior I expect from Microsoft. I mean, it's just It's something like a third-rate developer would do, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's possible, and that's part of the problem. And
by the way, the thing we have to all acknowledge is that out there, some certain percentage of people listening to this is saying, I don't know. I think that's kind of useful. Like, if I wanted to – like, I'm using a Microsoft app, so I probably do want to use Microsoft Outlook or Word or whatever it is. Like, that's actually useful because I can install it right from there. It's like, yeah, you know, okay. But I don't know. You know, we talked about this. The problem with mobile apps is that when you put 100 apps on your phone or 150 apps or whatever it is, you have to update them every single day now. And it's kind of incredible. I have a fairly minimal app set. And if you go and actually look at it, like manually update apps on Android, you'll have several to dozens of them every day that get updates, like every day. It's rather incredible. So why would you want all these things sitting on your phone?
Right.
Increasing your bandwidth usage and whatnot, you know.
Well, this is why Microsoft's going to do a Microsoft Android.
Gosh.
And, you know, then you'll have just what you want, no more, no less. We call it Android 365.
Android.
Android.
Or Mandroid.
Or Ansoft.
You got your Mandroid at my dip.
Mandroid 365, new from Microsoft. I'm writing that down. I like that. That's our prediction.
It's good.
I feel like they're at a point right now where they're like, let's see if anybody gets mad if we try this.
Yeah. You can't win, right?
That's not a good business.
It's not. I'm not saying it's good.
Like, let's see what happens.
Oh, let's see if we can get away with this.
Oh, no, wait. Let's see if he gets mad. What's the line?
All right. Also, in non-Windows Microsoft news, or NWMN, look who's on the private Linux developers list.
I know. Guess who?
Who?
Microsoft.
What is the private Linux developers list? I apologize.
So it's a distribution list, I believe, for Linux development companies.
Oh.
And so... Microsoft applied to be on the list, which set off a lot of alarms, right?
They have their own kernel, right?
They got Azure Sphere. They got their kernel in Windows 10, their Linux kernel, right? And that's part of Windows Subsystem for Linux. They've developed different things for internal use inside Microsoft for switches, like Linux-based versions of the operating system, like a custom operating system. So I think they
qualify.
Justifiably qualify.
Yeah.
And they got in. They got it.
Wow.
Did they have to hand over the original Halloween documents or something?
That would have been funny, right?
It's my guess. Yeah. It's the LSW kernel, because that really is
Linux,
GitHub.
Right?
It is a Linux kernel written by Microsoft. So that they have their own version of Linux. That puts them on that list for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have I mentioned how uncomfortable this makes me?
I'm sure. That's why I added it to the show notes.
Yeah, we just want you to feel bad.
Yeah, it's a Linux distribution security list, and it's a closed list. So they had to formally apply, and then they were approved.
I wouldn't read a lot into that. I think this makes perfect sense.
No, I don't read a lot into it either. But, you know, there are the diehards who are like, no, this is a company to call Linux cancer. No, I'm like, yeah, guys, but that was many years ago.
Steve Ballmer. You won. Celebrate. Microsoft gave in. You won. Linux won. This is what victory looks like. You don't say, oh no, we want to keep the fight going.
It looks like that boxcar they made them sign the treaty in, and then France, and then nothing went wrong after that. Right. Is that what it looks like?
Well, it may be.
Treaty of Versailles.
Yeah, there may be some fear that perhaps we're letting the enemy inside the ramparts, and it's going to be a Trojan horse. I can understand that, maybe. I don't think it is.
No, I don't think so.
In open source development, anything that they do, you know what they're doing.
More than 50% of workloads on Azure right now are Linux.
Yeah.
They've passed the 50% mark now. Yeah.
Linux won.
Where does it end, Mary Jo? Where does it end?
Sorry. It doesn't.
By the way, Red Hat has a podcast that's kind of interesting.
Command Line Heroes. It's awesome.
Yeah, Command Line Heroes. So,
They're doing what you're doing with the Windows programming and history. They're now doing programming language, and they are a sponsor.
Right. So season 3 is about programming languages, and episode 2 is about BASIC. Yeah. So it's pretty good. The first two episodes of season 1 are about the OS wars, and there are so many factual errors in this thing. I wanted to scream, like, it's really bad. But
that's not good.
Honestly, it's a good podcast overall.
I like this new season a lot.
Yeah, the new season is the best programming one. It's about programming language.
Yeah. Yep. They you know, and by the way, yesterday that deal closed. Red Hat is now an IBM company, $32 billion later. The world has changed a lot.
Nothing that IBM has ever subsumed has ever gone wrong, so that should be fine.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. At least HP didn't buy them. Yeah, it could have been worse.
HP Inc., let's be clear there.
Inc., yeah. Microsoft, this is now non-Windows Microsoft News Part 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I need a little sound, a little something. Part 3.
Yep.
Microsoft is not moving manufacturing out of China.
Yeah, that's pretty much the whole story. There was a rumor. Yep. It's a story about nothing. There you go. It was a rumor last week that Microsoft was among several companies who were looking at moving their manufacturing out of China, right? And so obviously they have Xbox and Surface and whatever. And I believe Microsoft was the only company on that list that kind of came out publicly and said, yeah, actually, we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm. They did.
Honestly, yeah.
I didn't see anybody else.
If you don't move it to the U.S., who cares?
Bring it in Texas. I hear there's an Apple facility. No one's
used. Yeah, because Apple's going to make, we found out, is going to make their new Mac Pro in China as well. So
sure.
None of that's working out. But, you know, that doesn't matter if you move it to Thailand or Korea or Brazil or India. That's still not U.S. jobs, and I think that's what the whole point is. So I don't.
Yep.
Keep it in China if that's what works. And now, non-Windows Microsoft News. Part 4.
That's for like from the news.
Right up.
Sorry, I didn't wink you.
Woo.
So I guess to celebrate the opening of the first ever Microsoft store in London tomorrow, Microsoft has teamed up with a design store called Liberty London for some exclusive Surface skins. I don't know if you've seen these things, but they're literally floral patterns.
They're hideous.
Yeah, they're like 1970s British wallpaper.
Yeah.
They are the most British thing.
These are my grandma's drapes.
Life. Yep. Yep, that's exactly what they are.
It doesn't scream Britain. It doesn't Microsoft. Well, but it just screams.
But so let me read to you what Mahedi wrote, with the understanding that Mahedi lives in London. He said, and I quote, "In all honesty, these designs look incredible." And I have to agree with them. They are incredible.
I don't believe them. You know what I really like is not only on the Surface. I'm going to get this for my Surface studio. Not only do you get the wrap.
It will never get stolen.
Behind the screen. You get the wrap over the little base unit that contains the underpowered computer.
Yep.
Nice. Nicely done.
I like it.
Where do I get this? I would be hysterical if I had this on my Surface
studio. You'd probably have to go to London.
People would just freak out if I bring up my studio and it's got chintz wallpaper on it. Do I have to go to the London store?
Have you seen pictures of the London store? It looks pretty nice.
You go to stylist.co.uk. I think you can order them. Oh, no, this is a story.
That's
about
the article,
it,
so yeah. I'm thinking Liberty London is known for their floral prints. I'm just thinking that's what's the story.
Okay. Hopefully so, yeah.
It's very popular with the Queen of England, you know, as you might imagine.
Yeah, service to Her Majesty the Queen in 1673. Look at it.
They'll be on display in the Microsoft store in London, and then they will be open for bidding on eBay.
Oh, I'll buy it.
With the proceeds going to Special Effect, a charity helping to bring fun and inclusion back into the lives of people with physical disabilities.
Okay, so this is what Liberty prints look like. Yeah, it's pretty hideous.
See, I don't understand why they don't have like a Union Jack thing going on.
That would be too much, wouldn't it? It'd be like having the American flag.
Yeah, they don't want that. They're not. That's not, you know.
They're a little too subdued over there.
Yeah.
They want something subtle.
Just ugly as can be. I don't know. Am I wrong? I mean, it's not.
You know what? Some people will like it. Yeah. That's the good thing. You can have choice.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to buy the one on the Surface Studio just because. It's for charity, and I just can't wait to see what people say about it.
You could auction it off.
Oh, I can bid now. Look. Exclusive. Microsoft Surface Liberty Collection.
No, the store, though. I've seen some
pictures. Oh, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. $3,191.
No, that's going to be a laptop, right? That's going to be the whole machine.
Oh, that's the whole machine.
No. It's, I thought these were proceeds. Racks. Remember, the proceeds are going to charity. This is a
whole new machine.
Oh, so it's not a skin.
You can't take it off.
Oh.
Oh, I thought it was a skin.
Oh.
Also, this may not post to the United States. They might think it's like Huawei equipment or something.
That's definitely got spyware in it, whatever that is.
Plus, you don't want to get the UK keyboard. Can you imagine how screwed up that would be?
Oh, my God. So the front looks exactly the same. It's just, it's like a way of saying, it's like putting a bumper sticker on that says you're ugly.
Yeah. It's like a pattern.
See, I think
a
it'd pattern. Be funny if your wallpaper matched this, and so someone looking at you from across the room, you'd be like a chameleon.
So these are new computer. You have to buy the whole computer.
I see. Yep, they're not skins.
This is not a skin.
I misunderstood.
This is the case.
That's weird.
It's a Surface Liberty device.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Well, you know, I am due for a Surface Studio 2. Is that
you
a big
go for that? Would you?
Well, I think it'd be hysterical.
How's the pound doing now? That doesn't seem like a bad price.
No, it seems
probably
like
no
great
one
price.
Would steal it
because people
right?
are bidding.
Because they'd
right?
be like,
yeah,
no.
for sure.
They're bidding. There's 13 bids. It's up to 2,500.
I'd rather
pounds.
Write a book on paper than use this thing.
I know I'd get sniped though. I'd because they sell for $3,000, so you're getting a deal. But I know I'd get sniped. I'll just enter, 2,561 pounds. Would it be funny if I won it? Then I'd have to use it.
You'd have to buy it.
All right. And that concludes our non-Windows Microsoft news. You know what happens after non-Windows Microsoft news? We go to the cloud.
Back to Microsoft news?
Yes.
Back to Microsoft news. Back to traditional Microsoft
traditional.
News.
Traditional. Now traditional Microsoft news.
Right. So at Ignite last year, Microsoft talked about this new service they have called Desktop Analytics. You've probably heard of Windows Analytics. Maybe you have. Maybe you haven't. But this is a replacement for Windows Analytics. It's an app compatibility assessment service. So say you're Windows 7 or another a version of Windows 10 and you're like, hey, wonder if I should move to this newer version. How are my apps going to be compatible? You can use this service to find out. It's in public preview now. The catch is it's for business users only. It works with System Center Configuration Manager. So you have to know what that is and have that to make this work. And if you do, you also have to have an enterprise version of Windows 10, like Windows 10 Enterprise E3, E5, or Microsoft 365. So this is not for consumers, but it sounds kind of interesting. It generates reports. It gives you suggestions if something isn't compatible, what you should do, and helps you organize things around pilot rings. So it sounds like a pretty interesting service if you're a fairly large company and you're looking for a way to make these upgrades a little more foolproof.
Yeah. Okay. And services. ServiceNow.
Yeah. So a group besides traditional partners that Microsoft is engaging with a lot lately are ISVs, independent software vendors like Adobe and SAP. This week they announced a partnership with ServiceNow, which is a cloud automation vendor. Where ServiceNow said they're making Azure their preferred cloud platform for their service. So it doesn't mean ServiceNow is moving everything of theirs to Azure because they're still also going to use their own private cloud, but they are moving some key pieces of the ServiceNow platform to Azure, and they're becoming a full-time Azure customer. They still have relationships with AWS and also with Google Cloud, but they definitely are putting more of their eggs in the Azure basket, which is kind of interesting. So Microsoft's kind of assembling a growing group of ISVs who they're working with to try to get them to really go all in with Azure and become customers and not just partners. So yeah, cool. That's your cloud news.
Good cloud news. And to get that foul cloud taste out of our mouths. Let's get some Xbox. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. I love the cloud. I love the cloud. Our show today brought to you by Wasabi. It's lunchtime, so I know you're thinking, oh, I love that hot horseradish that comes with my sushi. It's hot, all right, but it's not horseradish. It's hot cloud storage. Petabytes are moving to the cloud. Gartner Group says by 2025, a little more than 5 years from now, 80% of enterprises will have shut down their traditional data centers. That's growth from 10% today. And I'm not surprised, really, because if you're doing it right, the cloud has so many advantages, including, I would say, if you're using Wasabi, even being more secure than your on-prem storage. This cost savings, there's operational efficiencies. It's great for global companies, companies that have more than one location. And it is a transformative way of scaling your business. But let me add a name to the names you're already considering. I know you're thinking Azure, you're thinking Google, maybe an Amazon, of course, the 800-pound gorilla. I want you to add a smaller but more nimble, more affordable, and yes, faster hot cloud storage company, Wasabi, W-A-S-A-B-I. Wasabi has some really interesting patented technology, one of which was created by its founders, Jeff Flowers and David Friend, when they were at Carbonite. David's a good friend and was the CEO of Carbonite. Jeff invented this way of writing sequentially to disks instead of by sector, which made it much faster, much more efficient. They're using it on Wasabi too, and Wasabi now is 80% less expensive, one-fifth the cost of Amazon S3, but up to six times faster. And you couldn't get more secure, 11 nines of durability. In fact, one of the reasons is they do integrity checks, regular integrity checks, so your data is always, you know, it's always there. They also make data immutable. You put some of it aside, say, don't, this can't be changed by anybody, by a fumble-fingered employee, by ransomware. Man, how much money would these cities in Florida have saved if they'd been using Wasabi? Enterprise-grade cloud storage, 11 nines of durability, immutable storage. They never charge for egress or API access. So that's another reason it's much more affordable. And honestly, this is more secure, more reliable than your on-prem storage. HIPAA compliant, FINRA compliant, CJIS compliant. So all the regulatory bodies approve. Just think about the savings. I know you're going to look at those other guys. Add Wasabi to your list. And I think your boss, when you say, boss, I found something. These are the new guys. They're nimble. They're fast. They have a lot of experience in this business because of Carbonite. And they've created something that's going to save us money and solve a lot of our problems. The best hot cloud storage solution out there, Wasabi. Go to wasabi.com. You could try it out for a month with unlimited free storage if you use the offer code Windows. And that also lets them know you heard it here, which is good for us. W-A-S-A-B-I, wasabi.com, hot cloud storage. That's just a little bit better, maybe a lot better than the other guys out there. Wasabi.com, use the offer code Windows for a month of unlimited free storage so you can really bang on it. Use the offer code Windows. We thank Wasabi so much for supporting Windows Weekly. Paul Thera.
Yeah, so there's a couple things going on this week. Microsoft shipped the July 2019 update for Xbox One. This isn't really a big one, but there's a Play Later feature they've added for Xbox Game Pass. It's basically like a wish list kind of a thing, so you can keep track of the games that you know you're going to want to play but want to play later, and you can easily go grab them at any time. And then there's a bunch of Alexa stuff, which is kind of interesting. So you can pair your controller with your Xbox with Alexa now, so... In other words, you can say, Alexa, sorry, I should probably stop saying that, but you can say the Amazon assistant name, ask Xbox to pair my controller. It'll put your console in the pairing mode, and then you're sitting there with the controller, and you can press the button to kind of make that happen. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And there's a growing list of Alexa, sorry, I keep saying that, voice commands.
Echo. Just say Echo. Echo.
Echo. Voice commands for Xbox Game Pass as well. So they've been really expanding the compatibility of Echo with the Xbox.
Echo.
So there's that. And then what else do we have here? Oh, yeah. So this one's really cool. I don't know if you can bring up the picture of this, but Microsoft has patented what looks like a really neat idea for a mobile controller. And what it basically is like two halves of an Xbox controller, and you attach them onto your phone when in landscape mode, so that you can play Xbox games over the internet, like xCloud types games. So I think if you, I don't know if he has it in our story, but if you scroll down, let's see if he has. Yeah, there's an actual picture, like photograph of what that thing looks like.
Okay, this is and, a complete ripoff from this Nintendo Switch. Really?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what the Switch controllers do.
It also requires
a better looking controllers than the Switch controllers.
It requires a heavily bezeled phone.
Oh, yeah, because it covers up
which is
going to
be a problem.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. But that's a really good idea because, you know, to date, when we thought about using an Xbox controller with a phone, what you picture is this kind of contraption where your phone is somehow connected to the top of the controller and it's sitting on top of it or whatever. And that kind of thing, it, you know, like a Switch, like you said, I think makes a lot more sense. So we'll see what comes of it. Right now, it's just a patent that they've applied for. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to make it, but the fact that there were actually photos of a prototype, at least, is kind of interesting, I would say. So I hope they do something like this. I think this is
the funny thing is Nintendo announced a new Switch today without removable controllers.
Right, so. Right. Well, no, but the point here is you're using your phone, right? So
right.
A lot of times it's just a phone, and you don't
We've
want.
We've had in house, and I really like it. There is a controller that has like a cradle for your phone. You put your phone on it, and it actually is a very natural way to have a real controller with an Android phone. And that works pretty
plus,
well.
Plus, that wouldn't block the screen at all. So.
Although I would guess most games now, because of notches and hole punches, are careful not to use the edge of the screen anyway. You want everything to kind of happen in the middle.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see what comes of it. But looks
cool.
It looks interesting. I will say that
it's better than the Switch controllers because those are really not ergonomic in any way.
Plus, their Xbox, the layout is Xbox, which is
much better. That's what you want.
What I'm looking for.
That's
anyway.
What I'm looking for. This
third one is just kind of goofy, the third Xbox story. It's we're familiar with the game Cuphead, and we've learned this week it's going to be a Netflix series.
What?
A Netflix animated series.
What?
So the thing, it kind of lends itself. It's like a 1930s style cartoon, with that weird kind of jiggy animation or whatever. But, this game is fairly violent. Right. So like if you've ever actually played it, it is one of the most frustrating games ever made. It's really, really hard to make. So I assume like the death count is going to be higher than the Game of Thrones. Like I can't even imagine what this would be like as a TV show. But
the story is really kind of cool because as you know, Cuphead is an indie. It was a small indie game house that created it. It took them a lot longer to make it because they were a tiny little company. It's been a huge success, and I think this is actually fantastic. And it really, what's really funny, it was kind of designed to look like those old Max Fleischer, old cartoons.
Yeah. And now I don't mean to rain on the parade of this company's story, but they also had to be bailed off by Microsoft to make this thing actually come to market. And
it's hard to do a game.
The first DLC is going to arrive approximately 3 years after the game was released. They're kind of slow moving, but.
It's a good game, though, I think. I really enjoy it. It's very hard.
It needs an easy game mode.
Level.
Yeah.
Yep. Because I'd love to play it, and it's not. I'm not unfamiliar with video games, but I find it to be incredibly difficult.
Mm. Cool. App picks of the week.
Yeah. I think last week I had three tips, so this week I have three picks.
Fair.
Yeah. This week it is a pick. First one is Firefox 68. Mozilla released this for desktop and iOS, but not Android. Remember, they announced recently that they were going to make a new Android app, and so they're just going to maintain the existing one through the summer, and then sometime in the fall, there's a brand new version of that coming out on Android. But on desktop, I would say this is a fairly minor release. Some improvements to the Firefox Reader View for dark mode especially, which is pretty cool, actually. And a few other things. But the big news in Firefox land, of course, is that starting, I think it was last month sometime, they're enabling tracking protection by default now. So especially in new installs, that's kind of cool. And then the second pick is, this is kind of a half pick, because I actually don't think this one's very good. But Microsoft last week started teasing Windows 1 again, remember? And we were all initially kind of confused by this. It came out late last week that this thing was a Stranger Things TV show tie-in. And now we know that to be the case. It's finally out. So there's an app in the Microsoft Store called Windows 1.11. And if you're a Stranger Things fan, this is the Netflix TV series that takes place in 1985, which was the year that Windows 1 was released.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, there's little clues for the show in there and stuff. It's
Do they show any Windows 1 in Stranger Things? That would be really cool.
No, they don't.
No. Oh, that's so, too bad.
I don't know. It's just it's too bad they couldn't have figured that one out. But that would have been fun. Anyway, I quickly
uninstalled it. One IBM PC running.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been so cool. So you installed this.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I just thought people might want to know about it. I wasn't super excited by this.
1.11.
Yeah, which wasn't a thing, you know. But
I wonder if it'll run better on my Surface Go. finally, a version for Windows from my Surface Go.
It certainly didn't run very well in the computers of the day.
No, who could forget?
Yep.
Well, it was just a DOS shell, as Bruce Neil Stevenson pointed out. It wasn't, you'd know, because when it crashed, boom, you'd be in a DOS prompt. Oh, new version of your phone. Let me update that. All right.
There you go.
There you go.
And my final pick is if you are an Office 365 commercial customer. So I don't remember the exact names of these, but, you know, business essentials, et cetera, et cetera. There's a new version of Outlook on the web that I think Microsoft first released back in, I don't know, February-ish. And it is now going to be mandatory for everybody starting sometime this month. And so it's rolling out to everybody. It basically makes Outlook on the web look and work very much like Outlook.com, which, by the way, is a good thing. This is a really nice interface. So if you've been using the old, you know, Exchange Online style Outlook on the web interface for a while now, I think you're going to like the changes that are coming. So you can look forward to that. But you should be getting, if you haven't already gotten it, you'll get it sometime this month.
Nice. Mary Jo Foley has the Enterprise Picks of the Week.
So my first pick, it's a little late to be telling you all this, but you probably already have heard. SQL Server 2008 and 2008 R2 have left the building. Yesterday was the last day you're going to get security updates for those versions of SQL Server. So if you're still running them, and I know there are many people who still are, you have a couple of options if you want to continue to get security updates, which I would think you might. One is you pay Microsoft a ton of money, basically 75% of the cost of your existing license per year.
Oh my God.
To keep getting security updates.
This isn't the one. Oh. This isn't like the one that doubles every year, though.
No, that's a different one. But that's still a lot of money.
That's Windows 7.
Or if you agree to move your workload to Azure, you know, put it in a VM and put it on Azure, you can get security updates for SQL Server 2008 and 2008 R2 for free for 3 years. You don't have to pay Microsoft anything extra, and they'll give you the patches. So you can see what they're doing there, little carrot stick thing, like, hey, come on, put your workload in Azure, and we'll let you stay on SQL Server 2008 until finally you realize you can get off that database.
I am traveling back as we speak to 1985.
Oh boy.
Is it Stranger?
I'm going to turn your Surface Go into a CRT.
Well, they say in the store dialogue that it's as if Windows 1 came from, what do they call it, the other? I don't know.
Yeah, the upside down.
The upside down. Oh, look, it is. Oh, my God. This is awful.
I'm like, do you really want this? The logo's cute, but.
Oh, there is sound. Oh, yes, it's got the Stranger. Look at it's oh my God, look at this, Paul.
Yep.
Yeah.
MS-DOS executive.
Yeah. Oh, it crashed just like the old days.
Just like it did. Yeah, exactly. Like
something strange is
pretty much
over.
A sign of the apocalypse right there.
Now, that was about. So let's quickly read
the text file.
And it is actually slower on my Go.
There's Notepad, by the way, Mary Jo.
Oh, look at that.
It looks the same, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be on the lookout for strange glitches. They will help you uncover new experiences, find the upside down, defeat the mind flayer, maybe even save the world. Good luck.
Windows 1.01 was not touch compatible.
Apparently not. Apparently not. I keep touching it. Okay, I guess I'll close this window. I like the faux CRT curvature.
Yeah.
This is awesome. There's terminal. Oh, I get a terminal.
No.
Don't you love the hourglass? Windows 1.11 detects strange things. I guess I was going to type D-I-R. Yep. I should have selected more info. This is fun. It's just a game, right?
Yeah.
It's basically a game.
Yeah.
Sadly, it's not an emulator. That would have been amazing.
Oh, man. That's what I really want. That's while I'm going back to 1985, maybe Mary Jo Foley can. Oh, wait a minute. We got to mention one other thing. You got a chat. Did you mention your chat?
No, that's my enterprise pick, too.
Oh, what is it?
So I'm doing some work over on Petrie.com, the home of Brad Sams, and the sister site to Paul Thurrott's site. And what I've been doing over there is doing 30-minute recorded interviews with different people, some from Microsoft, some from the IT pro community, all different types of folks about different topics that I think IT pros might want to know about.
Oh, this is great.
So I've done one on HoloLens, and I've done one on the Graph API and Cosmos DB, how to keep Windows patched. I'm doing all different topics kind of randomly with all kinds of great guests. So if you want to check these out, we're not making this available in a podcast form or anything. You just have to go to the petrie.com/forums site and check out the MJF chat area, and you can look at any of those chats. I've got the full transcript and the audio for all of them available for free.
This is fantastic. So this is what you've been up to all this time.
This is another little side project. Yeah.
Cool. Very nice.
Yeah. So if you're an IT pro, you might find it, hopefully we'll find it useful. And if you have ideas of people you would like to see on the chat or you want to be on one, just let me know. I've got my contact info over there.
Nice. Very cool. Finally, let's do some beer.
Yep. Let's do a beer.
Let's do a beer.
So, you know, in the summer, a lot of people think, I can't drink a heavy beer. I want to drink a Pilsner or a Kolsch or something. But me, no. I still can drink a big, hefty stout.
This is such a winter beer, Mary Jo.
It is. Yeah. But you know what? A lot of bars have Christmas in July events where they are like, you know what? Everyone's sick of drinking Pilsners. Let's drink some really big beers. So I am picking for my choice this week, Highland Park Brewery, No Rest. And the reason I made this a choice is Highland Park Brewery is in Los Angeles. It actually is located in Los Angeles. And you don't hear of a lot of breweries there.
No.
And I got to have this beer recently. It's a 12% Imperial Stout. It has vanilla.
That's more than some whiskeys.
And cedar. Oh, cedar.
Cedar? Oh, man.
Cedar. So it gives you that little hint of cedar, but you definitely taste the coconut. You definitely taste the vanilla. It's like a dessert in a glass. And it really left me very impressed with Highland Park Brewery. So if you're looking for a brewery on the West Coast you may not have tried, or if you're in the Los Angeles area, you might have tried a lot of their beers, give Highland Park No Rest and any of their other beers a try.
Thanks.
And while you're doing that, you could play Microsoft Paint. And this is like it looks like a real Microsoft Paint. I don't know how this. Yeah. Whoa, what the? Oh, my goodness.
That's a strange thing.
That's stranger than other things. Many, many.
That's where
many.
They got the idea for multiple people doing this on a Surface Hub.
Wow. This is actually, you know what? This is a fun program. Windows 1.11. That's really interesting. Wow. Okay. Paul, Mary Jo, time to say so long. Another great Windows Weekly, all done. This was fun. We do this show, Pilates notwithstanding. If I show up on time at 11 a.m. Pacific, that would be 2 p.m. Eastern. Added 6, subtract 4, plus 24 is 1700 UTC. If you want to watch live, you can go to Twitch or listen live. You can go to twit.tv/live. You can also join us in the chat room if you are watching live, irc.twit.tv. You can download on-demand versions of the show at our website, twit.tv/ww. But we really encourage everybody to subscribe. That way you don't have to think about it. You don't even have to go to the website. You can just, you know, subscribe in your favorite podcast app, and you will get it automatically the minute it's available on a Tuesday. Wednesday. Did I say Tuesday? It's Wednesday, 11 a.m. Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon after the show is done. Paul Thurrott is at Thurrott.com. His books are at leanpub.com. Don't forget the Field Guide to Windows 10, Mary Jo Foley, all about Microsoft.com. And now the new chat, on Petri.com. That's exciting. PETRI.com/forums for the MJF chat. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. Have a great summer week. Are you leaving this week for Amsterdam, Paul?
No, next week.
All right. So you'll be here next week. And then.
Probably. I don't know.
No.
What's the next week?
You're not going to be here. Are you going to be here next Wednesday? Because I asked Brad if he could do.
Oh, that'd be great.
For you.
I think I am flying. What am I flying? I'm flying Wednesday.
The 17th.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can't be on.
So Brad.
All right,
Sam's
Brad is going to be you. Brad.
I expect to see a picture of me in a bunny suit when Brad's on.
Yeah, we need that.
Oh, it would be so great.
That would be hilarious. Oh, we have to do that.
We could put Paul's face right in there. I think that's we could do that. That'd be hysterical. All right, next week, Brad Sams and Mary Jo Foley as Paul makes his way to his summer fortress of solitude. Up in the ice of the lowlands. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Mary Jo. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.